Take God's Word, turn to Luke chapter 10. This morning we continue our series, Mary, Martha, and Mothers. Oh my, Luke chapter 10, we're looking at verses 38 through 42. Now in this series, we are learning everything we wanted to know about Mary and Martha. Say amen right there. And I feel confident in saying that if we have allowed it, that God has taught some very valuable lessons that we can place into immediate practice in our Christian lives. Say amen right there. Amen. Let's go ahead and recap our main points and then dive right into the message that the Lord has for us today. Well, we begin with the meaningful foreword for clarity, where Jesus makes a comparison between the good choice of Martha and the great choice of Mary. Number two, we talked about the mismatched focus on Christ. Martha was cumbered, Mary was contemplative. Number three, the mismatched fellowship with Christ. They each approached fellowship with the Lord from a different vantage point. Martha's fellowship was based on her service to the Lord. Mary's fellowship was based on her relationship to the Lord, which came from sitting at His feet, from a place of serenity. And number four, we began last time talking about the mismatched feelings toward Christ. That's where we currently are. Mary, Martha, and Mothers. Oh my, let's continue looking at our fourth point, the mismatched feelings toward Christ. Now, last time we examined Martha's fretful feelings. This morning, I want us to begin to uncover Mary's faithful feelings. Now, when we begin to look at Mary, we see a whole new set of feelings that differ quite a bit from that of her sister, Martha. Martha did not seem to have strong feelings toward prayer and worship. Mary had very strong feelings toward prayer and worship. Today we may say it like this. Mary's feelings about prayer meetings in church were the dominant feelings in her heart. For Martha, prayer meeting in church were just part of a broad variety of feelings in her life. Therefore, if she came, she came. But quite honestly, it wasn't that big of a deal one way or the other. Martha felt strongly about doing. Mary felt strongly about devotion. Martha felt more strongly about producing for God. Mary felt more strongly about praying to God. But Jesus says here that Mary had chosen the good part. Now our story lets us know that both types of feelings can be there, but Mary's is the better part. And because she chose the better part, Mary experienced feelings of peace. Now do you remember how Martha was feeling? Bothered, upset, worried, anxious, agitated, angry. But Mary had feelings of peace. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because Mary was all wrapped up in Jesus. And church, I want to tell you, when any man or woman is all wrapped up in Jesus, paradise's perfect peace is always the result. Let me give you a verse. Put it next to the margin of your Bible, next to verse 39. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. The Bible says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Watch this. "Whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." My friend, Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She was all wrapped up. She was enthralled. Her mind was focused and stayed on Jesus, and she had peace. That is the good part. And friends, that is what Mary chose. Martha's mind was stayed on juggling her duties, while Mary's mind was stayed upon Jehovah and devotion. And I guess the real question is this, upon what is your mind stayed upon this morning? When we are stayed upon Jehovah, that brings about a whole new set of feelings in our life. I love the old hymn, "Stayed Upon Jehovah." Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in His bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. It goes on to say this, hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Church, that was Mary, because Mary was stayed upon Jehovah Jesus. We're talking about Mary's faithful feelings. I want us to begin to see that Mary's seeds develop with fruit over time. Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Mary's seeds develop with fruit over time. 4 points this morning. Number one, the root of the feelings. Church, Mary was digging her roots down deep. She was filling up the fountain. She was storing up the waters of labor against the dam of learning. And though in that house, in our story, it certainly appeared that Martha was the more fruitful Christian, but in the end, Martha's fruit was going to be dwarfed by that of Mary's. Why? Because Mary allowed time for her seeds to develop. While sitting there at the feet of Jesus, Mary was growing strong. She was feeding. She was learning. She was being edified. She was loving. And then when the time was right, my friend, I want to tell you, the dam of learning gives way to the waters of labor. And when that happens, the result is always a work that produces an abundant fruit that will not wither away. I shared with you on Wednesday night how Sister Keisha encouraged me through my learning disability studying the Word of God. But let me add something to that. For a period of 5 years, every waking moment and every free time that I had, I invested myself into the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. Learning the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God. It became part of who I was. I was taking in the Word of the Lord. It was from that foundation that I am where I am today. It is because the foundation that was produced from that effort that I stand before you today preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But without that root, the fruit begins to depreciate. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 5, Jesus said this. He said, and some fell upon stony places. Now, He's talking about the seed of the Word of God being given out to men. And He said, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, They were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Then to the disciples, they asked Him, they said, Lord, what does this mean? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20, Jesus said this. He said, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, that is immediately, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, by and by he is offended. Right now, some of you are receiving the Word of God immediately in your life. You're receiving it with joy. But my friend, I want to tell you, if you don't go home and start spending time in the book for yourself and getting to know the Lord in your, for yourself and drawing close to the Lord yourself, my friend, what's going to happen? Tribulation, trial's going to come, and you're going to fall by the wayside. You're going to wither away. I've seen it once. I've seen it 100 times. But that was not Mary. While she was waiting, Mary's work was being winnowed. It was being selected. It was being sifted. It was being sorted. It was being separated. See, Martha's fruit ripens swiftly. That is, it develops very quickly. While Mary's fruit ripens very slowly. That is, it takes some time to develop. Do you remember how Psalm 1 begins? Psalm 1, the blessed man. The first psalm begins like this. In verse number 2, it says this. And he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Psalm 1. Listen, now was not the time for Mary. She was not quite ready yet. Now was not the time for the season of her fruit. And church, I'll tell you, the reason so many Christians falter in their service for the Lord is because they were not ready when they started that work because they had not spent enough time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Instead of trying to work so soon, they should have followed the example and teaching of Scripture. Listen to this verse, write it down, and tell me if this doesn't sound just like Mary. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue, knowledge. Add to knowledge, temperance. Add to temperance, patience. Add to patience, godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Add to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, it shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I present to you this morning, that's exactly what Mary was doing. When she was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, she was adding to her faith. She was growing strong in the Lord. But Pastor, what if those things are not found in us? Well, those verses go on to tell us this. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Pride had come in. The world was set in. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Mary was praised for keeping those things, for she was keeping them for a very special occasion. As we're going to see in just a minute, when the time was right, she poured out her love on Jesus Christ in a very revealing way. Listen to me, church. It's not about what we do for the Lord when we're half asleep. It's not about that work we do routinely or thoughtlessly. No, it's about that labor that we do that is done from a heart that is overflowing its banks through the tears of our eyes. It's about that work that is done from a heart that is bursting with gratitude and devotion. That is what Christ gladly accepts. We're talking about Mary's faithful feelings. We noted the root of the feelings. Number two, I want to talk to you about the ripening of the feelings. Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. That's Mary's place in our story. And in our story, Martha's fruit is very easily seen. I mean, she's the one that's up and working. She has a clean house. She has a nice meal prepared. Martha's fruit is very easy to see, but Mary's fruit was not discernible until sometime later. Now, don't get me wrong. Martha's fruit was good. But just to be honest with you, anybody could offer the Lord a nice meal and a clean house. And if you'll receive it, that was a routine work. See, Martha had forgotten about the spiritual nature of Christ, and she only provided for His physical being. But Mary had different feelings about Jesus. She was much more in tune with His spiritual nature. Brother Jim, she viewed Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And of a truth, only those who have spent time at the Master's feet can offer up fruit to Him that is unique and unforgettable. Church, I want to tell you, we are not wasting our time sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Because it is from that location where purpose produces power. It is from that position where our motives are masterfully molded. The feet of Christ is where our good works are formed. It's where they are filled. See, at the beginning of the race, Martha seemed to lap Mary. But no matter how busy a Martha is, her work always seems to be just a little bit empty. And she always loses the race in the end. When a Mary who has filled the fountainhead, digging their roots deep into the Savior through the Word of God, brother, when they begin to work, a mighty river starts flowing and it fills everything, and people stand back and take notice. They stand back in amazement, and there is nothing ordinary, there is nothing empty, and there is nothing commonplace about it. You ever been around a believer like that? We can be sure that they spent a long time sitting at the feet of Jesus before they went up and put their hand on the plow. And God always gives them special assignments. Ask yourself a question this morning. When's the last time God gave me something original to do for His glory, and then I went out and did that thing? I mean, something only God gave you. I remember when I pastored down in Panacea, very poor community, very impoverished, drug-ridden, alcohol-laden community. I remember telling the folks, we have 17 acres here. How about a nice fruit and vegetable garden so that we can minister to the needs of the community? Brother Clyde Owen, the founder of this church, he started bottling up Tupelo honey and selling it and then using the proceeds from that ministry to give to missions. To take the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world, that money could be used to tell men and women about the Son of God, the Savior of men. These are original things that God gives. Do them and glorify Christ. I tell you one work that always follows sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. That is the work of evangelism. My friend, we are the sheep of God's pasture. And sheep are good for two things. Number one, sheep are good for eating. They eat, they take in the Word of God, and then they go out and make more sheep. Are you feeding in the green pastures of God's Word? Are you making other disciples of men? Are you sharing the gospel of Christ? The root of the feelings. The ripening of the feelings. Number three, let's talk about the refining of the feelings. Now, as we said in our last message, after the story here in Luke chapter number 10, sometime later, their brother Lazarus died, and Mary and Martha sent for the Lord Jesus to come. And when Jesus was coming into Bethany, just as she did here in our story in Luke chapter number 10, Martha runs out to meet the Lord. And just as she did in our story in Luke chapter number 10, Mary stays behind at the home. Martha was pouncing on the situation. Mary was patient about the situation. Martha had to have things in her time. Mary could wait to have things in the Lord's time. As you know, in Bethany that day, Jesus would raise Lazarus up from the dead. A spectacular miracle. And then sometime later, after that, toward the end of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus would once again make His way back to Bethany to celebrate the Passover with His disciples in Jerusalem. Now, Bethany was located right outside of Jerusalem. So Jesus was coming back into the area to celebrate the Passover with His disciples and to go lay down His life for the sins of the world there in Jerusalem. And it was at that time, right before Jesus Christ was going to the cross of Calvary, it was at that time that Mary did for Him what the average believer who spends little to no time sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ would ever think about doing. Do you know what she did? It was a grand thing. It was a glorious thing. One so wonderful that it shall never be forgotten about so long as the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. We're in Luke chapter 10. Won't you go back in your Bible with me to Mark chapter 14. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he, Christ, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some in there that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it had been sold for more than 300 pence and should have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For the poor ye have with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." That is the result of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. You say, "Pastor, how can you say that was Mary? It doesn't mention her name. It just says that a woman did this work." That's a good question. For the answer, go with me to John chapter number 12. Go past Luke, John, chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." Talk about eating with dead men. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. Now in this account, strangely, we see the same scene that we have seen in our text all series long. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem that Martha has learned anything from Luke chapter number 10 to the time when their brother Lazarus died, to the time here in our story in Mark. Because right here, sitting in the house of Simon the leper, Martha is still serving. Did you catch that? Look at verse number 2 in John chapter 12. They made him a supper and Martha served. I wonder how many of the Martha types here at Central Baptist Church are resisting the teaching of the Word of God just like Martha resisted the teaching of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's something to consider. But what about Mary? What was she doing? Mary was still doing the spiritual work. Look at verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How long does the work of a Mary last? Friend, don't you want your work for the Lord to make it past the grave? How long does the work of a Mary last? Well, the Bible tells us in Mark 14 and verse number 9, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Amen. That's how long the work of a Mary lasts. The Bible doesn't seem to indicate if the works of Martha are going to make it past the judgment seat of Christ. They very well could be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because those works were not carried forth from the feet of Christ. And my brothers and sisters, the work that we do, if it is also not linked to the feet of Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, it is possible that that work is going to go up in flames. Now, we very likely will do our work well, just like Martha did her work well. And we may feel our need of recognition and honor, but there's going to be nothing special about that work because that work was done all on our own. It was all done in our own strength. And these types of workers for the Lord, they never rise to the lofty heights of spiritual perfection because they never carry out a heart-formulated work for the Lord. But Mary's work came from the Lord. And I believe that work was given her while she was listening to His Word. Friend, I want you to consider that the time that Mary spent sitting at Jesus' feet, she heard Christ speak about His death and the suffering that He must endure. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show unto His disciples how He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests, and of the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Mary took the time to hear those words. More importantly, Mary believed what she heard. Peter heard those same words, but Peter had a very different reaction to the words of Christ, didn't he? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Mary received the Word of God. Peter resisted. He rejected the Word of God. Peter would have none of it. None of this talk about Jesus going to die. Now, when it comes to what Jesus says in His Word, are you more like Mary? Are you more like Peter and Martha? This series is communicating to Central Baptist Church what we need to do in order to receive the blessing of God. Are you preparing for that? Like Mary? Are you resisting it? Like Peter? Like Martha? This morning we're talking about our fourth point, the mismatched feelings toward Christ. And we're seeing how Mary's seeds develop with fruit over time. The first thing we talked about was the root of the feelings. Mary spent time soaking up and gathering in the Word of God before she went out and labored for Him. Number two, we talked about the ripening of the feelings. Mary's dedicated devotion to the things of God, they grew as she fed her soul, as she delighted herself in fatness, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to the Word of God. And number three, we talked about the refining of those feelings. We see how God gave those feelings to Mary, and they formulated into a work for Jesus Christ, not a standard assignment, but a special assignment. And number four this morning, I want us to see the reaping of those feelings. Look at verse 42. Jesus said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mary heard the words of Christ that He spoke about His death. And she began to think how she might honor the Lord in His death. Brother Brian, I believe Mary's heart was bubbling over with feelings like this. What can I do to praise the Savior? What can I do to honor Christ? See, Martha was so busy serving that no such thought could enter into her heart. Now, no doubt, Mary began to ponder. And she began to prepare that precious spikenard for the anointing. Now understand that there's some work that has to be done at once. I mean, some emergency during the church service, some emergency on the property. Some of that work has to be done at once. But church, this was the type of work. This was a spiritual work, and it required consideration and thought. This was a heartfelt work. It was one that was not readily visible to the eyes of men. This was a design of faith. And it was a plan that was not to be played out. It was a plan that was to be prayed out. And church, when that work was finally poured out, the result was the house that was filled with the love of Mary for Christ. The whole house could smell it and know it. She had been storing it up for some time. And then like a mighty torrent of rushing waters, Mary unleashed a work that produced the fruit that shall never, ever be forgotten about. Now let me ask you a question. How much of all of Martha's serving has a memorial attached to it? The answer is N-O-N-E. None. None of it is a memorial. She was covered about much serving, but none of it is a memorial. It's gone. It served a purpose, but a temporary one. I tell you very plainly this morning that we can serve the Lord and be involved in every ministry of this church. We can work for the Lord from sun up to sundown. But if that work ain't flowing from the feet of Jesus Christ, it's nothing more than a big old religious waste of time, and it will have no lasting value. None. It serves the here and now. It suffices for the day. But it has no lasting eternal effects. Do you know what the reward for that type of labor is? It's the praise of men. Boy, wow. Did you see that?
Do you see how that brother works for the Lord? Do you see how that sister does for the Lord?
Church, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm not looking for that type of reward. I don't want that type of reward. I want to hear the reward of Jesus Christ saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thy work for me is a lasting memorial. It will never be forgotten." Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary used her hair as a towel. You say, "Well, so what, preacher? What's the big deal about that?" It's a big deal because the Bible makes it clear that a woman's hair is her glory. But no honor that Mary had for herself was so valuable that it could not be used to wipe and to wash the very feet of the Son of God. But there's more. If you recall, the book of Mark identifies the container that the ointment was stored in. Do you remember what it said? It was an alabaster box. Now, alabaster was a translucent stone, so the box in itself was very valuable. But the one Mary had was filled with an ointment that was equal to 300 pence. Do you know how much that was? An entire year's worth of wages. Now, I have no idea how much money you make there on your job. But my friend, however much that is, can you imagine giving every single penny of that to the church, to Jesus Christ, for an entire year? That's exactly what Mary did. Could you do something like that for the Lord? Now, it was customary to anoint the head and the feet of those who came into your home in that day due to the intense dry climate of the area. That was a very soothing gesture. But church, Mary's feelings for Jesus extended far beyond that which was customary. She wanted to do more than just get by. She went all out. She gave everything she had in every way that she could. Anointing the feet of Jesus Christ was a deed of devotion that was worthy of double honor. Mary knew that this was the last time that Jesus Christ was going to stop by her way. The last time He was going to be in Bethany. He was about to go to the cross of Calvary and offer Himself for the sins of the world. And out of her faithful feelings, she gave Jesus Christ that which was most valuable to her. Friend, I want to tell you very lovingly, you are not ready to be a disciple of Jesus Christ until you are ready to part ways with that which you value the most. Have you done that yet? Have you done that? Notice further, what our text says, Mary did not just pour out the ointment. The Bible says she broke the jar. Back in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 3, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head." Now, do you know what that tells me? That tells me Mary did not hold anything back for herself. She could have poured it out, giving to Jesus a nice good portion in His anointing, and then kept a little bit back for herself. She didn't have to break it. But Mary broke the box. Why? She wanted to make sure she gave Jesus her all. Jesus was about to go to the cross of Calvary and give everything for her, and now she wanted to give everything for Him. What are you holding back for yourself? Is it your time? Your money? Perhaps it's your talents. What are you keeping back for yourself? What are you holding back? I mean, I know you're serving the Lord, but you're not breaking the alabaster box. You're just pouring out some of His content and then keeping the rest back for yourself. What is it, church? Oh God, search out the hearts of men and women and show us. What are we holding back? What are we keeping for ourselves? Are you keeping back your money for yourself? Or are you giving to Jesus Christ just as much as you possibly can? You say, preacher, I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't believe in the tithe. I didn't ask you that. I said, are you giving to Jesus Christ just as much as you possibly can? Which is the spirit of giving in the New Testament. The tithe is just the minimum. What are you holding back? Are you breaking the alabaster box of time open for the Lord? Or do you do what suits you with your time and then give God what's left over of the time that He has allotted for you? There you go, God. I got 30 minutes left this week. I can slip in for one service maybe. There you go, God. Like a dog giving God what's left over. Here you go, God. What about your talents? God's given you leadership qualities. Are you using that talent? Are you using those blessings, those qualities for Christ? Or would you say that you're using your leadership qualities for your own benefit? Some can sing. Some can teach. Some have a good rapport. I mean, you can start up a conversation with anybody and keep that conversation going. Some of you are good with children. And what Jesus wants to know from you today is why you won't break open that alabaster box upon His feet. Why won't you break it open and fill this whole church with the perfume of your love for the Son of God? Jesus died on the cross for you, that your sin might be forgiven. I wonder if He's asking Himself down in His heart, what else can I do for them? Why won't you break open the alabaster box for me? Friends, Mary refined her work while she was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And it was upon those very feet where she poured out the fruit of that refined work. Faithfully hearing the Word of God in church, listening to what Christ may say to you during the course of a sermon, spending time in the closet of contemplation, that is where we gain the strength and our unction to function. That is where our alabaster box gets filled. And guess where it's going to be poured back out at? In heart formed, heart felt, and heart formulated work that's going to be carried out in and through the local church. Is that where you're serving God? Is that where you're investing your time, your talents, and your treasure through the local church? You know, you can't be right with God outside of that. My friend, what condition is your alabaster box in this morning? If you're saved, you got one. You're very precious, elect in the family of God. What condition is your alabaster box in? Is it broken? Is it broken for Jesus? Or is it still in one piece as you divvy out to Jesus what you deem best for Him? Oh God, please forgive us. Show us mercy for being the selfish creatures that we are. He gave us all for us. Why then do we hold back for ourselves? Maybe you've not had time to formulate an alabaster box in your Christian life. Because like Martha, you spent all your time working with very little thought and deliberation over exactly what you're doing. You're just working for working's sake, serving for serving's sake. It's what you've been taught to do. It's all you know how to do, so that's what you do. Friend, it's time to sit at Jesus' feet and do the first works. Like most Christians, Martha feels that Jesus is valuable, just not valuable enough to surrender my very best for. Jesus is worthy, but not of all that I have. Like Judas, my friend, what we have to ask ourselves this morning is this. Would I deny Jesus what belongs to God? Because had Judas had his way, Mary would have had to fork over that 300 pence of ointment so that he could have given it to the poor if he didn't put it in his own pocket. Listen, what I'm asking this morning is if the spirit of Judas, I'm not asking you if you are Judas, but is the spirit of Judas alive and well in the hearts of God's people at Central Baptist Church? I say to you this morning that if you have not broken the alabaster box for the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is. And we need to turn from it. And we need to repent of it. And do the first works. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your all today.